We made it to the hump show. Eek! It's kind of weird, isn't it? To finally get past the winter sports, to have hoops and hockey in the rearview mirror, and now think dog days, baby. Bring it. Let's go. Dog days of summer. It's a little odd, and I often wonder what you all get excited about. If you're diehard sports fans, what's next for you? So that's a question that I like to ask, and I do it myself sometimes, too. What's the next big thing? What's next for you? It's not like sports disappear. In fact, my favorite hashtag that I use on social is sports never stop. They never stop. Major League Baseball will continue marching on. They call them the boys of summer because they get a lot of the summer stage to themselves. So baseball continues to march on. Yes, the WNBA, which before now hasn't mattered quite as much. But we know that with every game and every night that goes by that these rookies, primarily Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, are playing, there are more and more eyeballs and earballs on them. The record ratings and TV viewership, every game, climbing to new heights. It's really impressive. So yes, there are a lot of new fans for women's basketball that feel like they've got something to keep them occupied all summer long. It's appointment TV. We've also got another golf major. For those of you who love racing, plenty of Indy and NASCAR and Formula One, F1 is what the cool kids call it. The NBA draft is Wednesday. The NHL draft is in this next week. And you've also got the Olympics coming up in about a month. So there's plenty to keep us busy. It's not like we'll be bored by any stretch of the imagination. Before you know it, training camps, NFL, training camps, the big bads will be back. The big bads are back, baby. Those training camps start in 3 weeks, if you can believe it. So I call it the summer slowdown, and normally that refers to the pace of life. Let's just slow down. Like baseball, even with the pitch clock, take a breath. Enjoy what is a little less of a sense of urgency and prepare. Prepare yourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually, financially for football season because it'll be here before you know it. So I was thinking about the next big thing and then realizing for sure that the WNBA is filling a void where maybe people have felt one before. Plus, we've got some fun storylines in Major League Baseball. Even with all the pitching injuries, we've still got some really compelling arcs, some really compelling teams that are carving out their niche, if you will. You may remember 2 years ago, the youngest team in baseball, the Cleveland Guardians, they won the AL Central, made a nice run to October, and Cleveland sports fans were going nutso. A lot of that, and it seems like whenever Cleveland has had success in the past, so much of it has been about the pitching. In the more recent past, I guess you go back to the 90s, a little bit different there. Big bats, power bats. But more recently, when the Guardians slash the team previously known as the Indians had success, it was because of the aces on their staff, because of their incredible pitching. Well, it's not that way now. In 2024, it's a red-hot offense that is powering the Cleveland Guardians, even after losing Shane Bieber. They've continued to work their way through it. Great bullpen. And on the road in Baltimore, flexing those muscles on Tuesday night. We're going to talk to Al Pawlowski, who covers the Guardians and really Cleveland sports for Channel 3. He's an anchor, but also is the host of Guardians Live for Bally Sports Great Lakes. A new guest to the show. We got to figure out what's gotten into these Guardians. I know Stephen Kwan, he's must-see TV. his at-bats you don't want to miss. Whenever you take a bathroom break or go to the concession stand or step away from the TV, don't do it when Kwan is at the plate. Probably don't do it when Jose Ramirez is at the plate. I'm not sure you want to do it when Josh Naylor's at the plate. Who else can you not miss in the Cleveland lineup? You don't want to do it when Bo Naylor's at the plate. It's a lineup that will carve you up if you're a pitcher. And so we're excited to talk about the Guardians, who own the best winning percentage in baseball as of right now. Also, some other fun series taking place this week, like the Subway Series. Now, this would have been, let's say 3 weeks ago, this would have been barely a blip. Except the Mets had one of the best records of any team in June. They give credit to the large purple stuffed animal that threw out a first pitch not that long ago. He belongs in a Happy Meal, but apparently he can pitch as well. So Grimace, or the Grimettes, as Jay likes to call them, they have also been surging, and against the Yankees have a chance to really see how they match up, see how they stack up. They're still below 500, but they're inching ever closer, one game shy. So the Yankees, it's got to be embarrassing for the Yankees to lose to the Mets, no?
There was about six or seven, just that I saw on the TV, people at Citi Field dressed as Grimace.
Stop
walking
it.
Around the stands, yes. So it's very real.
Purple was the color for my bridesmaids and my flowers and my wedding, so I'm partial to purple. I feel like Grimace, with his large purple body.
See, a few of the people in the costumes,
body.
A few of the people had like the large stuff on. I don't know if there's like a fan in there or whatever, just a large one. A lot of people had like...
It's a hoop.
Yeah, a hoop. Most that I saw, though, were just like not fat Grimace costumes. They were kind of scary looking. I was like, you're not Grimace.
Scary
you're not,
looking.
You're not fat, right?
We'll call him pleasingly plump in purple.
Pleasingly plump.
Pleasingly plump in purple. And I feel like, yes, you have to be pear-shaped to be Grimace.
Exactly.
You have to have the round head, too. Oh.
Otherwise, you're the guy from Sesame Street. Grover, what's his name?
Grover. Grover is... Is he purple?
I don't know. There's one of them that's purple.
Grover. Grover.
Grover might be blue.
I feel like Grover's blue. Of course, the Cookie Monster's blue. The Grouch is green. Snuffleupagus is brown. What Big Bird is yellow.
Yeah.
Elmo is red.
Right.
I can't place Grover. Bert and Ernie, they wear clothes. Stripes. One's yellow, one's orange. What?
Oh, Grover is purple.
He's purple?
He is.
I don't remember Grover. What does he look like?
Oh, actually, you know what? I have no idea this is Grover. He's just a purple Muppet.
Anyway, Grimace, you don't try to get me off track. The thing is, it's embarrassing right now for the Yankees to lose to the Mets, but that's exactly what happened. So we'll get to the latest in Major League Baseball. Why is there throwing up on the mound? There should never be throwing up on the mound. It's too early for that. We're not even into the heat of the summer. No, gross. Also, no hitting birds with your pitches. That's something else that's just, I can't watch. So we'll talk about the latest in baseball, even as we're about a month from the trade deadline. So teams will start to make moves. And then we're cleaning up the end of the NBA season, but we're on the cusp of free agency. This is, to me, the bigger story than the draft, other than where Bronny James goes in the draft. And actually, I'm really excited to see where Donovan Klingon goes in the draft as well, the UConn product. How about Zach Edey? That'll be a lot of fun, too. But I don't know that there's a ton of intrigue around this draft. Jay just shook his head. To me, the bigger story is about the high-priced and high-profile free agents that will be available, may or may not change teams. Paul George, LeBron James, that's an intriguing situation. James Harden, not so intriguing. Is another team really going to step into that trap? Or, and think about what the Clippers could go through. I can't imagine both those guys end up leaving, but still.
I am a system.
You are something. And then Klay Thompson, which is the one that is more emotional for me, because I love Klay Thompson. I'm so proud of him for the way he's fought back through 2.5 years of recovering from devastating injuries. Not to mention, he's a huge fan of the show. Did you know that? Jay, should we remind the peeps that Klay Thompson is a P1 for After Hours?
This is Klay Thompson, 4-time champion with the Golden State Warriors. You're listening to one of the best shows in America, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence. One of the best shows in America. The thing is, we're going to have to edit that if he goes somewhere else. Jay, play it again so we can figure out where to edit.
This is Klay Thompson, 4-time champion with the Golden State Warriors.
Huh.
You're listening to one of the best shows in America, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I suppose we could just cut out the part where he says 4-time champion with the Golden State Warriors, or just take out the Golden State Warriors. This is Klay Thompson, 4-time champion.
I mean, it's not wrong, though. He's still a 4-time champion with the Golden State Warriors.
Right, but still, if they don't bring him back, I would think we wouldn't. Nah.
4-time champion.
That would be awkward.
You're listening to one of the best shows in America.
Perfect. This is Klay Thompson, 4-time champion.
This is Klay Thompson, 4-time champion. You're listening to one of the best shows in America.
Oh, you cut him off. But so close, though. And that's just Jay on the fly. Never mind, I feel better now. I thought we were going to have to get rid of our Klay Thompson liner if, in fact, Klay Thompson was no longer a Golden State Warrior. But since we have digital editing capabilities, well, feel free to go wherever you need to, Klay.
With the Golden State Warriors.
Actually, I would be really sad if he didn't finish his career with the Warriors. Probably sadder than he would be. Now, what we've heard from Steve Kerr, what you'll hear from Steve Kerr, what we've heard from Mike Dunleavy is, yes, they want Klay Thompson back. But it's one thing to say it. It's entirely another to pay it to get Klay Thompson back. But and also, this is where agents come in, right? Players, radio hosts, we value ourselves in a different way than our employers do very often. It's a sticky situation where a team might be telling an athlete, hey, you're not worth that anymore. Or to maybe put it a little more tactfully, oh, sorry, we have to spend our money elsewhere. So what we've heard, now the Warriors aren't going to say this, and yes, Klay did scrub his social media, which is why I kind of feel like we got to chop off the part about the Golden State Warriors.
Feelings.
People do have feelings. I love basketball. It affects my mood.
I'm human.
We love Klay. I love Klay. I won't speak for anyone else, but I love Klay, and I do hope he stays with the Warriors. But I can understand why they have a reluctance to pay him top dollar or a max deal, and why they would have to say to Klay, if another team offered him a max deal, you should take it if that's what matters most. We're not going to begrudge you taking a fat contract, probably the last one of your NBA career, especially at top dollar. We're not going to try to hold you back from taking that deal if you think that's what you want to do. It would be weird, but if there's a team out there, which according to latest reports, there actually isn't a team out there that's willing to pay him a max deal. But we don't know what's most important to Klay. And I'm not going to try to read into him scrubbing social media. What did Kyler Murray tell us? It's a Gen Z thing.
This is a Gen Z thing.
I mean, that's what Cliff Kingsbury told us. And that got him in trouble and got him fired. And he went to Thailand and to get away from it all. So I don't know what happens with Klay. I'll just have to accept it. But that's my big question about NBA free agency, which generally blossoms around July 4th. I won't be here on July 4th. Jay won't be here on July 4th. This is the first July 4th I've taken off in a long time when it actually landed during the week. But we have a family wedding in Texas. So now that I've got different priorities as a wifey poo, I have to go. I want to go, but I also have to go. I can't say, sorry, I'm working. Hope you don't mind if I'm skipping the wedding. Anyway, so I won't be here, but I will be watching closely, and I'll be back early in the following week, and we'll talk it all through. But yes, hot and heavy when it comes to NBA free agency. It gets underway very soon. Also, Steve Kerr has advice for J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick with the Lakers. I'm still processing. I still am interested to see what they do in the draft and what they do with Bronny slash LeBron slash are they keeping Anthony Davis happy? There's a lot of moving parts there too. And I know we asked this question of our friend Michael Duarte from NBC LA going back maybe 3 weeks ago. It was pre-Dan Hurley and that whole offer. But I remember asking him, are the Lakers more interested in winning or more interested in keeping LeBron happy? Like, what's their priority? And he obviously said their hope is they can do both. But I'm not sure it's possible. It feels like they care more about the LeBron piece than they do about being a contender in the Western Conference next year. Free agency begins June 30th. Nailed it! Getting close. So we'll do a little bit of the hooping, setting you up for free agency, plus the baseball. Also, this is a little crazy. The head coach of the Texas A&M baseball team that lost in a final third game of the College World Series against Tennessee. We just talked about it on Championship Monday night into Championship Tuesday morning. He got really cranky when someone asked him, and I don't blame him. He's coming off a loss in the College World Series. A&M falls just short of winning its first ever baseball title, and it's hard to watch another team celebrate right in front of you. But Jim Schlossnagel, he was asked about the rumors that he was being courted by arch rival Texas, who, by the way, is now in the SEC along with Texas A&M, and he didn't enjoy the line of questioning.
About your future in Aggieland?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again, and that hasn't changed in my mind. And that's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question, but I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
Now, he didn't say no, just, hey, that's pretty selfish of you. We just lost in the College World Series. I gave up a lot to come here. I made sacrifices. Well, not here. They were in Omaha. But to get to College Station in Texas A&M, which, by the way, is where the wedding is taking place this next week. That has nothing to do with anything. It's just my spaghetti plate brain. And so I understand him getting a little bit salty over it. He didn't say he was staying. He just didn't want to answer the question. Well, imagine the surprise. I come from a Longhorn family now. My husband and his family, they're Longhorns. A few Aggies in there, but mostly Longhorns. They were exulting over this big coup, if you will. Schlossnagel leaving to go to Austin. And A&M fans, well, they were getting trash talked. They were getting the business, if you will. It was pretty healthy back and forth, give and take. Jay, it's another one of those phrases I completely made up. It's a really healthy give and take. It's a really healthy back and forth, or if you will, a back and take. Makes perfect sense to me.
Makes sense.
Thank you. Jay is so good for me. He doesn't care if I make up words or phrases. This is totally fun. This is a bit of a surprise for College Station. Although you can imagine they're giggling, chortling, guffawing in Austin. It's got to hurt. It's got to sting. But it is a business. And so I try to keep that in mind. We got a lot to do. We really do. I'm glad, though, that it's summer and we can be a little goofier. Not that we aren't goofy in the fall, the middle of winter. We do need your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So send them to our show Twix at Amy After Hours, at Amy After Hours. And then our Facebook page named after the show, super easy. You're still asking me about the pig races. Love it. I'm telling you, if you need a pick me up or a laugh right now, pig racing. Except you'll have to pardon me cackling in the background because it had to be the funniest thing I've ever seen. That's what social media is good for, animal videos. So check it out and send your questions for Ask Amy. We'll do that in the third hour of the show. Glad to have you with us. Hump show, baby. Let's go. It's after.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Here's the pitch to him. He swings and skies it to left center, to the left of center, way back there, and it carries on out of here. Oh my, Jose Ramirez with another deep drive just to the left of center. And it goes into the Orioles bullpen, and there is the big two-out hit. It's a three-run shot for Jose Ramirez. And it's a five-run inning for the Guardians, who now lead it 8-4. Now the pitch, swing and a tamper off the glove of the pitcher, Cano, ricochets into right center. A base hit that will score Naylor. And a fortuitous bounce for Gabriel Arias and the Guardians. And Cleveland leads it 10-7.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
On the Guardians Radio Network, Jose Ramirez, he's up to his power game again. Five runs in the fourth, including his three-run jack. And then two more in the eighth inning as the Guardians got the best of Baltimore in what was really a slugfest, 10-8 on the road at Camden Yards. And don't look now, but the Guardians are sporting the best winning percentage in all of baseball. So not the most wins. They're at 51, while the Yankees and the Phillies are at 52, but only 26 losses, which means their winning percentage is slightly higher than any other team in baseball at this point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Top of the hour, we're going to talk to Al Pawlowski. Some of you may know him from Bally Sports Great Lakes. He has Guardians Live. He's also a TV anchor in Cleveland, and he will join us to talk about these Guardians who are winners of seven in a row and have not only put up this best winning percentage, but are now leading the AL Central by 9 games. Does this remind you of anything? The Boston Celtics? Do you remember the lead they had on the Eastern Conference by the time they got to the playoffs? Now, it's a long way to go for the Guardians, but as you can imagine, Stephen Vogt's pretty happy with the way his team is playing.
Just the resilience of this team. I couldn't be more proud of our guys top to bottom. From Logan grinding through, not having his best stuff, to the bullpen picking us up, Pedro Avila giving us such a huge boost, bridging us to the back end, and Cade Smith, Barlow, Sam, Classe. I just can't say enough about the way our pitching staff has picked us up all year. And then tonight for our offense, Bo Naylor swinging the bat, Gabby Arias swinging the bat, Hosey being Hosey, just up and down the lineup, the defense, the plays we made, Freeman, a couple big hits, you know, just everybody contributed tonight.
Boys been awesome. Bullpen was great today. Bats kept us in it. Defense played good defense. So all around, good team win.
That's what you like when you've got multiple areas of, your team multiple areas of expertise that are really performing. And so it makes it easy on the other guys. Maybe one group doesn't have a good game, so middle of your order, or your bullpen gives up a few runs, or you get the idea. But when a team can beat you a variety of ways, which is where the Guardians are right now, well, you're sitting pretty. And yes, 7 wins in a row. As for the Orioles, they'd also gotten within a couple games of the Yankees atop the AL East and had plenty of offense for Brandon Hyde.
I'm not frustrated in our offense. Get 16 hits, score 8 runs on these guys, you should win the game. But, you know, we didn't pitch well enough to win.
Yeah, so right now the Orioles are scuffling. They've had some injuries they're dealing with, and they're backpedaling. So they've gotten within sniffing distance of the New York Yankees. It's a great scent. And now they're going backward. But the Yankees are as well. Why? Well, because, you know, the Mets are so damn good.
Vientos hits it high in the air to left, pretty deep. Verdugo back at the track, at the wall. There it goes. Home run, Mark Vientos. First pitch to him. That's lined in the air to left. That's deep. That's headed a long way. Home run, Bader. Harrison Bader with his 5th home run of the year.
First one to Vientos. It's cracked in the air on a line toward right center. It is off the top of the wall and gone. Vientos hits an absolute laser to right center. It hit the top of the wall and popped into the Yankee bullpen. First pitch to Nimmo is lined in the air deep to right. This sends Soto back at the track. It's gone. Brandon Nimmo, a 2-run homer. The Mets have absolutely teed off on Gerrit Cole tonight. 6-0 New York in the 4th.
Well, the game went on, and between the two teams, they scrounged together 16 runs on 19 hits. That includes Aaron Judge and a grand slam, his 29th home run of the season. But yeah, home run for Harrison Bader, a pair for Vientos, who is his first time with multiple home runs in a game, and a lot of the damage being done against Gerrit Cole, who only lasts the 4 innings in his second start back from injury. Remember, he was really good in his first one, but allows 6 runs on 7 hits, but not just that, 4 walks.
It's a bit like driving a car. Too much clutch or too little clutch can slip you out of gear a little bit. So obviously it came out really tremendous in the first and had to make a lot of pitches. Disappointing, didn't really give us a good chance to win tonight. Didn't execute enough good pitches. Just kind of dug us a hole.
He was dialed up, you know, he was cutting it loose a little bit and then dialed it back a little bit there in the second and didn't get the ball to the location. And this team that's been swinging the bats well, and they, you know, made him pay for 2 there in that second.
As for the Mets, that's 11 wins in 14 games. And this is one that you can really measure yourself against. They were so far out of the lead in the National League East that they were becoming a joke in New York. And we know this because, well, Jay's a Mets fan. Actually, Marco Belletti's a Yankees fan, so I hear it from both sides. But for me, as an impartial observer, the fact that our headquarters are located in New York, of course, I hear it all the time. And as I'm listening to local radio, usually just on my way home from our headquarters and our show in the morning, it's nonstop. And early in the season, it was Yankees are amazing, Mets still suck. I mean, that was essentially the refrain. I'm paraphrasing. But now you've got the Mets, who are just shy of 500. They're starting to hit the ball. And it makes the trade deadline a lot more complicated if they continue on this arc. But the Yankees, they've dropped a couple in a row. Of course, they got injuries to Giancarlo Stanton and a couple of other guys. They're trying to put all the pieces together. Aaron Judge is having a phenomenal season. They want to get Gerrit Cole back up to speed. And so it's a bunch of moving parts. However, they are still atop the AL East, which makes me think this one's got to sting a little bit.
This is the worst feeling in the world.
but for Vientos and the Mets, they'll take it.
It's a cooler environment. Doing the Subway Series is sick. Being a part of this team, like what we've been doing for the past couple weeks, month, has been awesome, and I'm excited to show up to the ballpark every day.
It's sick. Would you use that word? Would you say that's appropriate to describe the Subway Series? It's sick. I like it. I'm not that cool.
I've used that before.
Yeah, I'm not that cool. Wait until your kids start saying that. Your oldest son, how is he? 10?
10. There's a lot of things he says that I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Subway Series is sick.
That one, see, that's old enough because I've used that. That's cool. I think that's long gone.
Jay uses that too.
Yeah, I feel like that's old. That's old.
It is. I just don't think I could get away with saying it. It would sound odd.
I don't know. I've said it. I think you can get away with it. I can't get away with my son calls me sus every like 15 minutes. So that one I can't do.
Oh my gosh, Bob called me sus on Tuesday morning, and I said, "What did you just say to me?" No, you don't get to call me that. Yeah. You're not cooler than me.
There you go. I get called that seriously every 5 minutes. Whenever I'm home, I'm sus.
And what does he mean by that when he says
suspect.
It? Right, but he's actually using it in context.
Oh, yeah. No, he knows what he's talking about. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any little thing that I do, you sus. That's sus. Oh, yeah.
From your 10-year-old.
Yeah, he's a total wise ass. I don't know where he got it from.
Oh, I have no idea. Can't imagine. It must be your mom, his mom,
that's
your
sus,
wife.
That he keeps saying sus.
I mean, hey, what are you going to do?
All right. So we'll talk Dodgers and White Sox, which I'm not sure is really a fair fight, but keeping an eye on Shohei Ohtani. Also, why is there vomit on the mound? That's the question. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Also on our Facebook page, we'll get to that coming up, and more on the first place Guardians at the top of the hour.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Swung on and well hit to right field. Heading back toward the wall is Tommy Pham. He will leap, and it's gone. It's into the bullpen. That's a home run for Shohei Ohtani. It is 1-0 Dodgers. He goes back to touch first. He thinks he missed it. Now he goes to second base. Ohtani with his 24th home run, his 59th RBI, and he ties an all-time Dodger record with RBIs in 9 straight games. Roy Campanella in 1955 did it, and now Shohei Ohtani has joined him on that list.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What else is new? Shohei Ohtani tying a Dodgers record for the number of consecutive games with at least an RBI. Dodgers Radio Network, Tim Neverett with the call. Would you believe that thanks to an Andrew Benintendi home run in the first inning and then another RBI double for the White Sox, they actually had the lead over the Dodgers. It was 3-1. You want to talk about embarrassing, but these are the Dodgers. Even without Mookie Betts, who I miss in the lineup, they certainly have plenty of power and pop.
He swings, hits it to left field pretty well. It's carrying Benintendi back to the wall. It's gone, a home run. Freddie Freeman, an opposite field homer, ties the game at 3. Home run number 12 for Freeman. And the Dodgers have come back to tie it in the top of the third, 3-3. 0-1 pitch, ground ball into right field, a base hit. Lux will score, and the Dodgers take the lead. Vargas rounding second, and he is into third. And Shohei Ohtani with his second run batted in tonight.
By the fourth inning, with those two runs batted in, well, Freeman with the two-run home run that scored Ohtani, and then an RBI single by Ohtani.
We're pretty good.
They're pretty good. They had the lead, and there were no more runs the rest of the game. So the bullpens are able to take over. But yes, the Dodgers get to 50 wins. And for Shohei, you're talking about the kind of numbers that would not indicate that he had any type of personal scandal in his life going back, say, 3 months ago. Yeah, for him, not only do you have the record with the 9 consecutive games of at least a single RBI, but now 24 home runs, and he's sitting on 60 runs batted in. We're not even at the halfway point, and he's on 60 runs batted in. Even Freddie Freeman likes to watch the show.
I don't know what more we can really say about him. I think we've said everything we can since he's entered this league about what an amazing player he is. But when you come over here, you just never know how first year is going to go in any team. But I mean, sometimes you just got to step back and just appreciate a player like this.
Just really swinging at pitches that I'm supposed to swing at within the zone and making sure that I'm laying off pitches outside the zone.
In case you're wondering, no, that is not Ipe Mitsuhara. We have not had a update, any type of a life update, a life hack, anything like that? For
last time I heard, he was doing Uber Eats.
That's right. Jay told me that. I didn't see it. Are you sure Ibe Mitsuhara, first of all, he's a convicted felon many times over.
I don't think
now.
That matters.
For Uber Eats?
For some reason.
You think he's a celebrity?
No,
an Uber Eats celebrity?
He just seems to...
Okay, Google it.
He just seems to go about
Uber Eats. See if we can figure it out. I'm assuming that the social media universe, the social media stratosphere, will be able to tell us if Ibe is still delivering Uber Eats.
As of June 6th, he was. His photos.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. I bet that there are Dodgers fans or Angels fans out there who find this whole thing exhilarating. And the fact that Ibe might show up with their food, they would ask to have his photo. No doubt.
You'd have to,
I feel like in LA, he's probably recognized when he delivers food.
I don't use Uber Eats really ever, but if I knew there's a chance that Ibe might deliver it to my door, yeah, I'd
Can
order.
Can you ask for a particular Uber Eats delivery dude?
I don't know. Maybe you gotta like learn their routes though, so you kind of figure out where he's at in the city. Order from a local place around there.
All right, so as we talk about, you've got the Dodgers minus Mookie Betts. They're sitting on the top of the NL West, but have you noticed that the Padres are making a little noise? Yeah, they find dramatic ways to win. They seem to love the walk-offs, the winning in the last at-bats, whatever. Let's go Nationals and Padres.
This is interesting. There's the benches are going to empty here now as Ruiz and Profar getting into it. And we wondered if something might happen after Profar ran all over the field last night after his game-winning hit. And some thought maybe taunted the Nationals' dugout last night. And Ruiz getting right in his face.
And Ruiz just spiked his catcher's mask as Trevor Williams is trying to hold him back.
Here's the pitch. And Jurgensen takes down and in, hit him on the foot.
Ouch.
Wow. 98-mile-an-hour fastball. A couple of the Padres have gone to the top step of the dugout. They want an ejection. Amery has ejected someone from the Padres side.
So that's where the drama begins. You start with a little bit of this brouhaha and strongly worded conversation and bench is clear. Guys want to get involved. They just want to make sure they know what's happening. Mackenzie Gore drills Jurickson Profar as a... what do you think you're going to do about it type of a message. So it's the Nats and the Padres radio networks. Oh, but the game wasn't over.
Here's Machado. And he swings at the first pitch. Hits it a mile to deep left field. What an answer from Manny. Maybe the longest homer I've ever seen to left at Petco Park. 2-0 San Diego in the bottom of the first inning. And Profar raises his hands as he rounds third base. Machado taking the slowest trot you'll ever see him take. Only about halfway to third base, and this place is electric. Padres with a one-run lead. They are looking for more, much more, with Jurickson Profar at the plate. Here's the 2-0 pitch. Profar hits it in the air, deep down the right field line, towards the corner. Gonna go!
The ultimate answer.
You think on the Padres radio networks, first Manny Machado gets a home run. What was it? Just a couple batters later. And then Jurickson Profar in a later at bat, a few innings after this happens, after he gets drilled and benches clearing, blah, blah, blah. He pace a grand slam. Take that. How do you like me now? Actually, if you haven't yet voted for your National League All-Stars, if you haven't yet cast your ballot, well, Profar doesn't need your votes, but he'll certainly take them. He's 31 years old, and he's putting up career numbers. By the way, this is the best part. This is my favorite part. Maybe it's not his favorite part. It's my favorite part. He's playing for $1 million this year. That's it. His contract pays him $1 million. The Padres are getting way more production than that. And he's having a blast. He's the top vote getter for National League outfielders right now. And that was his 11th home run. It was a grand slam. Okay, he's not a guy who's going to hit for power most of the time. But how about that? Jurickson Profar. you're paying him $1 million, which sounds like a lot to Jay and I combined, actually. But, I mean, throw a few more of our radio salaries in there from the newsroom, and it still would sound like a lot of money.
You said 100?
Yeah. And yet Profar, on a $1 million contract, is the top vote getter in the National League among outfielders. And because it's a team sport, what matters most, of course, is that the Padres are putting together wins now. They're stacking wins, and they're above 500, which is huge. I wouldn't say they're within shouting distance of the Dodgers yet, but they're at least part of the equation in the NL West. And remember what we talked about in the National League? There are so few teams that are above 500 that, of course, the Padres are right there for a wild card. I think they're a game out of the second place team, which is the Cardinals, and those two are looking up the Braves. There's a long way to go, but if you're the Padres, this is sweet. Right, for a lot of reasons, because you found a diamond in the rough and you're getting him for cheap. This is like a rookie quarterback who gets you to the playoffs. I mean, we've seen this a bunch. He gets you to the playoffs and you're paying him, I don't know, $425,000 in his first year. Something along those lines.
I can't believe he fell off so much that that's all he costs.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? They're going to have to pay him. You would think they're going to have to pay him. But right now he's hitting .317. He's got 11 home runs. And he's top 15 in the National League in RBI. $1 million.
Oh, I had him as a steal in my fantasy baseball team. So, okay then.
Undrafted.
I'm
not
right?
telling you anything that you don't know. We'll talk about the incident a little bit later on. But mostly this is about Jurickson Profar and the fact that he gets hit on the foot as a response to a little extra yapping. And then he hits a grand slam a few innings later. Seriously, is that not the ultimate mic drop or bat flip or just in your face? Do you need to say anything? Do you say anything if you hit a grand slam 5 innings later?
You do one of those like stares where act tough.
Mm, yeah. Stare down. I got you. And then you take your time around the base paths. We'll talk about the Guardians next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's at the top of the hour.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Swung on and well hit to right field. Heading back toward the wall is Tommy Pham. He will leap, and it's gone. It's into the bullpen. That's a home run for Shohei Ohtani. It is 1-0 Dodgers. He goes back to touch first. He thinks he missed it. Now he goes to second base. Ohtani with his 24th home run, his 59th RBI, and he ties an all-time Dodger record with RBIs in 9 straight games. Roy Campanella in 1955 did it, and now Shohei Ohtani has joined him on that list.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What else is new? Shohei Ohtani tying a Dodgers record for the number of consecutive games with at least an RBI. Dodgers Radio Network, Tim Neverett with the call. Would you believe that thanks to an Andrew Benintendi home run in the first inning and then another RBI double for the White Sox, they actually had the lead over the Dodgers? It was 3-1. You want to talk about embarrassing, but these are the Dodgers. Even without Mookie Betts, who I miss in the lineup, they certainly have plenty of power and pop.
He swings, hits it to left field pretty well. It's carrying Benintendi back to the wall. It's gone, a home run. Freddie Freeman, an opposite field homer, ties the game at 3. Home run number 12 for Freeman. And the Dodgers have come back to tie it in the top of the third, 3-3. 0-1 pitch, ground ball into right field, a base hit. Lux will score, and the Dodgers take the lead. Vargas rounding second, and he is into third. And Shohei Ohtani with his second run batted in tonight.
By the fourth inning, with those two runs batted in, well, Freeman with the two-run home run that scored Ohtani, and then an RBI single by Ohtani.
We're pretty good.
They're pretty good. They had the lead, and there were no more runs the rest of the game. So the bullpens are able to take over. But yes, the Dodgers get to 50 wins. And for Shohei, you're talking about the kind of numbers that would not indicate that he had any type of personal scandal in his life going back, say, 3 months ago. Yeah, for him, not only do you have the record with the 9 consecutive games of at least a single RBI, but now 24 home runs, and he's sitting on 60 runs batted in. We're not even at the halfway point, and he's on 60 runs batted in. Even Freddie Freeman likes to watch the show.
I don't know what more we can really say about him. I think we've said everything we can since he's entered this league about what an amazing player he is. But when you come over here, you just never know how first year is going to go in any team. But I mean, sometimes you just got to step back and just appreciate a player like this.
Just really swinging at pitches that I'm supposed to swing at within the zone and making sure that I'm laying off pitches outside the zone.
In case you're wondering, no, that is not Ipe Mitsuhara. We have not had a update, any type of a life update, a life hack, anything like that. For
last time I heard,
Ipe.
He was doing Uber Eats.
That's right. Jay told me that. I didn't see it. Are you sure Ipe Mitsuhara, first of all, he's a convicted felon many times over.
I don't think
now.
That matters.
For Uber
him,
Eats?
For some reason.
You think he's a celebrity?
No,
an Uber Eats celebrity?
He just seems to...
Okay, Google it.
He just seems to go about
Uber Eats. See if we can figure it out. I'm assuming that the social media universe, the social media stratosphere, will be able to tell us if Ipe is still delivering Uber Eats.
As of June 6th, he was. His photos.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. I bet that there are Dodgers fans or Angels fans out there who find this whole thing exhilarating. And the fact that Ipe might show up with their food, they would ask to have his photo, no doubt.
You'd have to,
right? I feel like in LA, he's probably recognized when he delivers food.
I don't use Uber Eats really ever, but if I knew there's a chance that Ipe might deliver it to my door, yeah, I'd
order.
Can
you ask for a particular Uber Eats delivery dude?
I don't know. Maybe you got to like learn their routes, though, so you kind of figure out where he's at in the city. Mm. Order from a local place around there.
All right, so as we talk about, you've got the Dodgers minus Mookie Betts. They're sitting on the top of the NL West, but have you noticed that the Padres are making a little noise? Yeah, they find dramatic ways to win. They seem to love the walk-offs, the winning in the last at-bats, whatever. Let's go Nationals and Padres.
This is interesting. There's the benches are going to empty here now as Ruiz and Profar getting into it. And we wondered if something might happen after Profar ran all over the field last night after his game-winning hit, and some thought maybe taunted the Nationals' dugout last night. And Ruiz getting right in his face.
And Ruiz just spiked his catcher's mask as Trevor Williams is trying to hold him back.
Here's the pitch. And Jurgensen takes down and in, hit him on the foot.
Ouch.
Wow. 98-mile-an-hour fastball. A couple of the Padres have gone to the top step of the dugout. They want an ejection. Emery has ejected someone from the Padres side.
So that's where the drama begins. You start with a little bit of this brouhaha and strongly worded conversation and benches clear. Guys want to get involved. They just want to make sure they know what's happening. Mackenzie Gore drills Jurickson Profar as a... what do you think you're going to do about it type of a message. So it's the Nats and the Padres radio networks. Oh, but the game wasn't over.
Here's Machado. And he swings at the first pitch. Hits it a mile to deep left field. What an answer from Manny. Maybe the longest homer I've ever seen to left at Petco Park. 2-0 San Diego in the bottom of the first inning. And Profar raises his hands as he rounds third base. Machado taking the slowest trot you'll ever see him take. Only about halfway to third base, and this place is electric. Padres with a one-run lead. They are looking for more, much more, with Jurickson Profar at the plate. Here's the 2-0 pitch. Profar hits it in the air, deep down the right field line, towards the corner. Gonna go!
The ultimate answer.
You think on the Padres radio networks, first Manny Machado gets a home run. What was it? Just a couple batters later. And then Jurickson Profar in a later at bat, a few innings after this happens, after he gets drilled and benches clearing, blah, blah, blah. He paced a grand slam. Take that. How do you like me now? Actually, if you haven't yet voted for your National League All-Stars, if you haven't yet cast your ballot, well, Profar doesn't need your votes, but he'll certainly take them. He's 31 years old, and he's putting up career numbers. By the way, this is the best part. This is my favorite part. Maybe it's not his favorite part. It's my favorite part. He's playing for $1 million this year. That's it. His contract pays him $1 million. The Padres are getting way more production than that. And he's having a blast. He's the top vote getter for National League outfielders right now. And that was his 11th home run. It was a grand slam. Okay, he's not a guy who's going to hit for power most of the time. But how about that? Jurickson Profar. You're paying him $1 million, which sounds like a lot to Jay and I combined, actually. But, I mean, throw a few more of our radio salary salaries in there from the newsroom, and it still would sound like a lot of money.
Is that 100?
Yeah. And yet Profar, on a $1 million contract, is the top vote getter in the National League among outfielders. And because it's a team sport, what matters most, of course, is that the Padres are putting together wins now. They're stacking wins, and they're above 500, which is huge. I wouldn't say they're within shouting distance of the Dodgers yet, but they're at least part of the equation in the NL West. And remember what we talked about in the National League? There are so few teams that are above 500 that, of course, the Padres are right there for a wild card. I think they're half game, a game out of the second place team, which is the Cardinals, and those two are looking up the Braves. There's a long way to go, but if you're the Padres, this is sweet, right? For a lot of reasons, because you found a diamond in the rough and you're getting him for cheap. This is like a rookie quarterback who gets you to the playoffs. I mean, we've seen this a bunch. He gets you to the playoffs and you're paying him, I don't know, $425,000 in his first year. Something along those lines.
I can't believe he fell off so much that that's all he costs.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? They're going to have to pay him. You would think they're going to have to pay him. But right now he's hitting .317. He's got 11 home runs. And he's top 15 in the National League in RBI. $1 million.
Oh, I had him as a steal in my fantasy baseball team. So,
Okay then.
Undrafted,
then
I'm not telling you anything
that you don't know. We'll talk about the incident a little bit later on, but mostly this is about Jurickson Profar and the fact that he gets hit on the foot as a response to a little extra yapping, and then he hits a grand slam a few innings later. Seriously, is that not the ultimate mic drop or bat flip or just in your face? Do you need to say anything? Do you say anything if you hit a grand slam 5 innings later?
You do one of those like stares where act tough.
Mm, yeah. Stare down. I got you. And then you take your time around the base paths. We'll talk about the Guardians next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.